Good morning. Welcome to our worship again today. Today is March 1st, 2026, the second Sunday of Lent. The focus of our service today is that the trust in the promise of God that He is our Lord and Savior brings the gift of living water for thirsty souls. Abraham had faith in God who justifies, and so God credited to him as righteousness. And by this same faith, Jesus gives righteousness to all who believe, and he enfolds sinful Samaritans and modern Gentiles like us into the family of God. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In bringing many to glory, it was fitting that God should make the author of our salvation perfect through suffering. Therefore, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We confess our sins. Lord, for having other gods before you, for indifference to your might and power, for thinking that security lies in me rather than in you, let us turn to you and trust in you. For using your name without respect, for cursing and swearing without thinking, for the lack of prayer and praise in my life, Lord, do not let me ever forget your name is holy. For ignoring the meaning of the Sabbath, for forsaking the assembly of the believers, for honoring you with my lips and not with my life, forgive me, Lord, for saying one thing and doing another. For not honoring those who are over me, for my lack of concern for my parents, for evading my responsibility as a citizen. Help me to see through rationalizations and excuses and to give honor to whom honor is due, Lord. For the ways that I cheapen human life and mistreat my own body, for the desire to get even when I have been wronged, for nourishing hatred and allowing it to grow. Let me never hurt someone intentionally or cause them physical harm. For making light of the marriage bond, for nourishing impure and lustful thoughts. Help me to control myself, O God, and give me the desire to want to be pure. For my lack of concern for my neighbor's needs, for the poor use I make of my time, abilities, and possessions. For stealing and calling it something else, let me treat others as I want to be treated. For careless words that can damage someone else's reputation. For making fun of others. For talking unkindly about other people. Let me learn to speak the truth in love. For trying to get what someone else has. For thinking that happiness lies in material things. For jealousy which eats away at contentment. Teach me what the most important things in life are. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from every sin. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God then for this Sunday of Lent. Our first lesson is from Genesis chapter 12, the first 8 verses. God revealed to Abram that the seed of the woman promised in the Garden of Eden would come from his line, him and his barren wife, living as strangers in a land. No logic, no emotion could have ever led Abram to leave his home, only trust in the Almighty God. And Abraham believed, and all the people would be blessed through the descendant that would come from Abram. This would be the promised Messiah who would come as the Savior of the world. We read, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. This is God's word. And we have a reading from Romans for our epistle lesson. Romans chapter 4, the first five verses, and then 13 through 17. Paul taught the Romans about faith by using Abraham as an example. We read, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not." This is God's word. We continue then with our message for today. It's going to be based on the gospel reading, the gospel from St. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26, and then a few remaining verses of that chapter. On the campus of the school that I went to, both for high school and college, Northwestern, we only had one drinking fountain, especially one drinking fountain in the old gym. It made no difference to which sport it was. After the practices, you would have to stand in line to quench your thirst, patiently waiting, all hot and sweaty. And boy, that line could not move fast enough just to get a sip of water. You know how thirsty you can get when you are pooped and parched. You're dry as a bone, and that one little sip just doesn't cut it. You need a whole gulp. Well, you look at the other side of the coin, and we see that that's exactly what we often do to our faith. We're often content just to drink the little sip of the living water of God's word. So today, let's dig into our gospel lesson. Let's focus on Jesus' interaction with a Samaritan woman at a well. My friends, you are the woman at the well. You're the man at the well. You're a teen at the well. You're a child at the well. As it was with this woman, the Lord's relationship with you is personal and intimate. We then turn to some of the verses. We read verses 4 through 7. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus would never have met this woman if he had done what most people did, at least Jewish people, and that was to go around Samaria. To go from the point where Jesus was to where you wanted to go, a straight line would take you through Samaria, not around it. But there was no love between the Jews and the Samaritans. Because of a 600-year-old grudge, they loathed each other. So they avoided each other like the plague. And that is why the Jewish person would have went around Samaria rather than through it. What did John write? John says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Jesus had to seek out this woman and initiate a conversation between himself and her, that woman who came to the well. Jesus is starting that conversation would change her life. That is God's standard operation procedure. He reaches down to us because we can't reach up to him. The Lord makes us alive when we were dead in sin. Jesus becomes our friend when we only wanted to be his enemy. And then John tells us also why this woman was there at the sixth hour, which is 12 o'clock noon. Drawing water in the heat of the day, was she nuts? No, she was guilty. She had a bad track record with men in her life. And the woman was also a target. She knew that at high noon, there wouldn't be any other women around who would look the other way instead of looking at her, and they would run their mouths about her to their friends. Well, Jesus is sitting there at the well when she arrives. Aware that Jesus was there, she probably didn't make eye contact with him. So Jesus speaks to her. "Will you give me a drink?" Her answer to Jesus reveals she wasn't afraid to express her thoughts. Our text says the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Well, the tone of her question reveals a suspicion that she had in Jesus. But our Lord's answer tells us exactly why Jesus had to go through Samaria. We continue verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Using that well water as an aid, Jesus was leading this woman to see that she could trust him as the living water of eternal life. Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." What we sense in her answer is that she's struggling. She wanted the living water Jesus was offering, but she still wasn't quite sure what that living water was. You know, we are familiar with the expression, "Don't put all your eggs in one basket." And that's a warning against putting all your hopes and dreams and your future in one thing. Well, Jesus teaches us the complete opposite. put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, put all your trust in me. Trust me to give you living water, and you will never be thirsty again. The living water of Jesus forgives us our sins. The little ones, the big ones, the ones we remember, the ones we forget, the ones we do intentionally, and the ones we do accidentally. The cross is proof of his forgiveness. The living water of Jesus takes away guilt. As we'll find out in just a bit, the woman at the well had a lot to feel guilty about, and sometimes so do we. And when guilt gets the better of us, let's go to that font, the baptismal font. Take comfort in the fact that the water of baptism with the Word of God washes guilt away. Now, as we go back to the well, to the woman, in the conversation, we learn to trust Jesus, a trust that leads us to live his way. Verse 16, Jesus said, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she said. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Two guys were watching a Western on TV, and as a cowboy rode his horse near the edge of the cliff, they went to commercial. And one of the guys watching the movie said to the other, "I bet you $20 that cowboy's going to ride over the edge." "You're on," the second guy said. When it came back for commercial, sure enough, the cowboy rode his horse over the edge of the cliff. After the second man paid up, the first guy admitted he had seen the movie before. To which the one who had just lost the bet said, "So am I. I've seen the movie as well. But I didn't think the cowboy was dumb enough to make the same mistake twice." Now we might giggle at that, but we get the point. The woman at the well had made the same mistake, not twice, but five times. So she stopped trying marriage and just started living with a guy. Jesus didn't let it slide. He confronted her in his Christ-like way. He did not condemn her, but he didn't condone her sin. And Jesus created her thirst for the gospel by using the law to show the woman her sin. You know, I could draw a circle and tell you, if you can picture that circle, many people are living like their lives going in circles. They might be going 90 miles an hour, but they don't get anywhere. And like a circle which passes the same point again and again and again, so many make the same mistakes over and over again. They get on that circle by listening to the voices of reason or culture or to the cries of malcontents or misfits. Well, like the woman at the well, Jesus powers us with the gospel. He guides us with the law to keep us from jumping on that circle or to jump off the circle if we are on it. God's word keeps us walking on a straight line, the line of obedience and happiness. Jesus teaches her one final truth as we go on. We read, the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus said, "I who speak to you am he." What Jesus was teaching this woman that day is what he's teaching us today. And that is that everything you hear, everything you receive, everything you do, you can trust it, because it all comes from the Lord. That's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. The woman listened intently, hanging on every word that Jesus spoke. And then Jesus says, "I am he. I am the Messiah." I don't think Jesus calling himself the Savior surprised this woman. Her faith received Jesus with believing arms. She trusted Jesus' words. I am the one who forgives you. I am the one who gives you peace. I am the one who brings you purpose and happiness. I am the living water. So whatever happened to this woman? The ending is incredible as you continue reading in chapter 4 of John. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." What's the best thing I love about this story? Is this woman left her water jar at the well. She didn't need it anymore. She had the living water of Jesus. With faith in her heart and joy in every step, the woman went back to town and shared Jesus with the whole town. She shared that Jesus with the women who had shunned her. She shared Jesus with the man who was living, whom she was living with. And who knows? Maybe they planned their marriage. Or one of them moved out. Maybe he too was one of the many who believed. The blessings of trusting Jesus keeps getting better and better. The blessing of trusting Jesus gives us the water that wells up to eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. God bless you. God bless your week. Amen.